Hey guys, what's up? We are back with another video today, and today we are here for our first edition of College Football Roundup 2023. New season. This is our third year of doing College Football Roundup, entering into year three. Lincoln won season one of it. I won season two, and we're here for a tiebreaker matchup as we start off with some week one matchups. We film this right before the Notre Dame and Navy game, as well as the Vanderbilt and Hawaii games and a few other college football games this weekend, but not enough to do a full roundup show. So, Lincoln, how are you feeling going into this season?
I'm feeling pretty good. You got ahead of me last year about midway through, and then, you know, it gets to that time late in the season, especially for bowl games, where you just got to get desperate.
Yeah.
And just kind of go for it and hope for the best. But, you know, I'm hoping to stay out of that today, this week, and get ahead in week one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that it's going to be an interesting season. It's definitely going to be the Wild West out there. And I think it's going to be even crazier than last season. I think we could see a lot of upsets. I think we could see a lot of teams that come out of nowhere, even at the group of five level. So I think that it could be interesting to see what team from the group of five is going to kind of be that this year's Tulane. Or is it UTSA is finally going to go 12-0 and make that New Year's Six Bowl?
Yeah.
So first matchup of the year, NC State at UConn. Who do you got?
I've got NC State in that game. I think just with, you know, Brennan Armstrong being reunited with his old offensive coordinator back at Virginia whenever he threw for 5,000 yards and led the country in passing yards. I think Armstrong is going to be a better quarterback this year than he was last year. I don't think he'll be what he was in 2021, but I think he will be better than he was last year, and somewhere closer to the 2021 spot. Again, I don't think he throws for 5,000 yards and leads the league in passing, because I don't think NC State has those kind of weapons that Virginia had. But I think that NC State is going to be a solid team. I think that they're a pretty talented team. I think they're going to be a tough team for UConn to beat and really get some offense going against, defensively against that NC State team. So I think NC State wins. I think they win by 10 to 14 points.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree on this game. I think UConn comes away with a victory. I'm a little bit concerned when it comes to NC State. I just don't know what I'm going to get when it comes to Brennan Armstrong. Yeah, he's reuniting with his former OC, but at the same time, it's an unknown what this NC State offense will be. And even the defense has a few question marks on it outside of that linebacker position with so much experience. So I just think a UConn team that won six games last year, that has a lot of momentum, has a good running back and a good quarterback, that has dual threat ability. I think NC State's going to have some trouble with that. And I'm going to pick UConn to win their first home game of the year. Heading in the next matchup, we have Nebraska at Minnesota. Nebraska at Minnesota. Who you got?
I'm going to take Minnesota in that game. You know, I just think that week one, Matt Rhule, first season at Nebraska, you got a new quarterback in Jeff Sims, a lot of new pieces for that team in Nebraska. Whereas you look at Minnesota, they got a lot of turnover, but they're at lesser positions of need. You know, running back, they lose their best player, but it's a running back. That's not insanely hard to replace. You lose your center, which is a big miss, but it's not like losing a quarterback or somebody else.
They kind of lose a quarterback.
Yeah, sort of. But I do think that their quarterback they have now, I'm not going to try and pronounce his name, Athan.
Greek gunslinger.
The Greek gunslinger. You know, I think that he's probably better than Tanner Morgan. And so I think that Minnesota is going to have a solid season. I think that they're better than Nebraska, especially week one. And I expect them to get the win at home.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Minnesota in this matchup is going to be coming away with the W. I think that Minnesota just has the pieces and the tools to be able to just put some points up on the board. And I'm kind of concerned, especially with Matt Rhule in this first year at Nebraska. The first two stops he had as college football head coach at Temple and at Baylor, he really struggled in this first year. So I'm not going to count on any sort of success from Nebraska until I can kind of see otherwise. especially when it's a lot of uncertainty at pretty much the entire offense with losing Trey Palmer at wide receiver and so on and so forth. I think that you definitely have a lot of pieces to make up. So heading on to the next game, one of the bigger games of the week, but just didn't make the cut for the big three, Florida at Utah.
Florida, Utah. This is going to be a very interesting game. A lot of stuff from this game. You know, Florida comes away with the win in the swamp last season, but Anthony Richardson's gone. A few other pieces are gone. You bring in Graham Mertz. What's he going to be? Then you look at Utah. Cam Rising is, you know, hurt. Their potential backup could also be hurt. We don't really know what's going on with the quarterback situation for Utah. It's at Utah, so that kind of adds to the advantage for them. So, you know, I don't really know what's going to happen. With that being said, I don't like Graham Mertz at all. I think that Utah's third-string quarterback could probably do better for Utah in not losing the game than Graham Mertz is going to do for Florida. And so at the end of the day, that's what I'm going with, is that I feel more confident in Utah's quarterbacks to keep them in a spot to win the game than I feel that Graham Mertz can do that. So I'm going with Utah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Utah on this matchup. I think that with this particular matchup, I think that Utah just has the physicality and the ability to run the ball and stop them on defense. I just think Utah is a SEC-like team, but doesn't play in the SEC. They're very physical up front on both ends of the ball, and they have some very physical and good cornerbacks to back that up. I just think that Florida, away from home, away from the swamp, no Anthony Richardson, I think even though Utah does not have a quarterback really set in stone with a lot of experience for this game, I still have more question marks when it comes to Florida. So heading on to the next matchup, Louisville at Georgia Tech.
Yeah, Louisville at Georgia Tech. This is an interesting game. You got Brent Key coming back with Georgia Tech. Do they still have their magic from last season? Sort of whenever he took them to be 4-4 and they win, they beat two ranked teams. What does Georgia Tech look like? Then you get to Louisville. What does Louisville look like with Jeff Brohm at head coach? And then you got Jack Plummer, who's reunited with Brohm from his days at Purdue, who had a pretty solid season for Cal last season. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coming in, you have him. You have some solid skill players. You have some solid skill players. But Georgia Tech, they've got some talented guys as well. But I'm going with Louisville. I just trust Louisville more than I trust Georgia Tech when it is what it all comes down to. I'm not so sure I can trust Georgia Tech to win a game. I don't really know what they're going to be like under Brent Key. They still have a huge talent gap from them and a lot of the other schools in the ACC. So I'm going to go with Louisville.
I agree with some of those points, but the biggest one I disagree with is that I think that Brent Key is not as much of an unknown. He went 4-4 last year on his last eight games after Jeff Collins got fired. And I really think that with Georgia Tech, you're looking at a program that played well at the end of last year. And 4-4 for Georgia Tech, if he had the whole season and went 6-6, I think this Georgia Tech team, they have an incredibly tough start of the season and a tough non-conference schedule with games against Ole Miss and against Georgia. It's going to be a tough season, a tough sledding, but I am going to go with the Yellow Jackets for this one. I think that the pieces that they have and with Jeff Brohm being a first-year head coach compared to a first-year head coach at Louisville compared to Brent Key being a coach that was there last year as the head coach and then now this year is the full-time head coach, full offseason, stuff like that. I'm going to put my money on Brent Key. Then you have Fresno State, at Purdue. The interesting fun fact about this game is the Fresno State broadcast will be exclusively in Spanish. If you are a Fresno State fan, hopefully you took some Spanish class lessons or are a native Spanish speaker, because you are not getting an English broadcast and an exclusively Spanish broadcast.
I seen something about that the other day. I hope they never do that for Clemson, because I would be confused the whole game on what they're saying. But for this
game, they're going to do an exclusively Southern Redneck broadcast.
Yeah. for this game, I'm going with Fresno State over Purdue. I just think Purdue has a lot of turnover. You know, new head coach, new quarterback. Excuse me, it's early in the morning. new head coach, new quarterback. Some, you know, they lose a lot of their skill players from, you know, over the past few years where they've been really elite and dominant. They're kind of moving farther and farther away from that, a lot like Minnesota. And, you know, I like Fresno State's defense a lot. I think Fresno State has probably the best defense in the Mountain West. That's how they're going to win a lot of football games this season. They have a good offense, but it's not going to – their offense isn't going to put up 40 points a game. But this defense, I think this Purdue offense is going to have a hard time scoring. I think that Fresno State can, you know, maybe force a few turnovers. You know, I think that they can get some points on the board and end up winning this one like, you know, 24-13, 24-17, something like that. But I have Fresno State with the win.
So, with this next game, this Purdue-Fresno State game, I went back and forth on it, but I'll be honest, and I just went with home field advantage. I think Purdue at home week one, Fresno State has to travel halfway across the country, literally. I'm going to go with Purdue. I think Hudson Carr at quarterback. Purdue's going to have some solid players. Like Ryan Walters did bring in some solid transfers, particularly Hudson Carr. And I think that they're going to have some players. And I'm a little bit concerned when it comes to Fresno State's offense, just kind of not really concerned as much as just it's so many unknowns that I really just don't know what to expect. So I am going to go with the Boilermakers in that matchup. Heading on to the next one, we have Primetime versus TCU. What do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, in this game, I have TCU winning. I'm not buying all this Colorado hype that they're, you know, winning, somehow magically winning 8 games this season. I get they have some good players, but where's their depth at? Nowhere. It's all in the transfer portal. So I'm not really buying Colorado. I don't like the way Deion's going about things up there. And I mean, even if he's doing it in a way that I thought was right, I still don't think it's a team that's going to win 8 games this season. I just think that TCU week one at home versus a Colorado team that has about 50 new players in and a new head coach and basically a brand new team trying to all come in together and get all that stuff figured out. I don't think that works week one against TCU. I think Chandler Morris has a big game. And I think that the Horned Frogs start off the season 1-0.
Yeah. So with this game, I'm going to go with TCU. TCU also did bring in a lot of transfers, particularly from Alabama. But I do think at the end of the day, their quarterback, whose name I am blanking on, who is
Chandler Morris.
Chandler Morris. He won the job last year. He was the starting quarterback against TCU or against Colorado last year in week one. But then he got injured midway through that game. Max Duggan took over, and they didn't look back. And I think at the end of the day, when it comes to TCU, I think you're looking at a team that has some solid pieces. The Sunny Dykes heading in the right direction. I am a little bit concerned about what's going to happen in this game, but I have way more question marks about Colorado and the hype and stuff like that. I think Colorado wins maybe 4 games, like max 4. Just because I think Deion, he doesn't have any depth at that program. That's just simply it. He just doesn't have depth. So next game, Virginia at Tennessee. Who do you got?
This game needs no discussion whatsoever. I'm taking Tennessee by 40 points.
You just throwing your old offensive coordinator straight under the bus?
Yes.
I don't disagree. Like, Tennessee is going to blow them out of the water. Virginia is a bad program, and Tony Elliott may or may not be a head coach by the end of the year. Heading on to the next game, Northern Iowa at Iowa State. Who you got?
I got Iowa State in this one is what I had written down.
No betting on it.
That's what I was about to say. That's what I had written down. And I'm really debating on where to go with this one, but I think I'm going to stick with them. But I am concerned with this game because of all the betting. And they barely beat Northern Iowa or lost to them, I believe.
They barely beat them last
season with all these guys at bet.
Well, now, this was 2 years ago because last season Northern Iowa played Iowa.
That's right. It was Iowa that they played last year.
They go back and forth.
That's right. but they, you know, now they're potentially without a quarterback. Is there any word on Hunter Deckers though?
He is suspended indefinitely.
I hadn't actually seen anything.
I came
out on him.
I do not think he is playing this game. I could be wrong. There may be more news, but I have not seen anything other than when he was suspended indefinitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really know what's going to go on with this game. I'm just going to take Iowa State. You know, that's a home game for them, first game of the year. We'll see what they can do.
Yeah, I'm going to represent the Missouri Valley here. I'm a big Illinois State Redbirds fan. If you don't know what they are, they're in the same conference as North Dakota State or South Dakota State and Northern Iowa. So I'm going to go with the Panthers. I think that Northern Iowa, they have a great roster. They have a solid piece at running back. They have a really good defense. And Northern Iowa, they didn't make the FCS playoffs last year. They're going to come out avenging. They're going to want this win. And Northern Iowa, I think, has gotten so close in this game previously. But this game, I think it's it. I think that you get the win. I think Northern Iowa takes the W. Boise State, Washington, who you got?
I got Washington in this game, but this is not going to be a game Washington can just sleepwalk into. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be a very highly scoring and fun, entertaining football game. I think Washington has a, you know, their defense, no secret, is not very good. Their offense, though, they may have the best passing attack in the country, depending on what happens at quarterback for Ohio State. But they're, I think Ohio State's 1A and Washington's 1B when it comes to passing offense in the country. I think that Penix and those guys are gonna be great on that offense. I think they're gonna put up, you know, 40 something points a game. But I think on the other side, I think that Boise State has a very good offense too. I'm blanking on their quarterback's name.
I'll look it up. You keep talking.
I think it's like Taylor something. I'm blanking on his name, but you know, if he can get the deep ball down for them. That offense is going to be crazy because that was about the only thing he needed to work on over the offseason. He's a dual threat guy. He can, you know, make all kinds of plays for you. I think that he's going to be absolutely outstanding for them at quarterback. I think they're going to have a great, great offense. And
Taylor,
so I'm excited.
Taylor Green.
That's right.
Yeah.
I expect him to have a big year, and I think this will be a fun game, but I am going with Washington. It's a home game for them. It's week one. And I think that I trust Penix more than I trust Green to lead his team in a shootout.
If this game was being played on blue turf, I may pick the Broncos. But it's not being played on blue turf. It is being played on green grass. So I am going to go with Washington in this game. Here's the thing. I get that a lot of people are high on Washington. They're high on Michael Penix. But Michael Penix has this on and off thing of like he has a really good year. Ari is a really bad year, then a really good year, then a bad year, and then a good year. Like, he is – I am very concerned about Penix this year, and I'm not – and I'm concerned about this game, but I am going to go with Washington at the end of the day. I think Washington wins it. They get the W. Then you have Washington State at Colorado State. Kind of interesting to see this game at Colorado State. Do the Cougars get the dub?
That'll be an interesting spot for them to go, but I do think Washington State will win. I don't see Colorado State as the team that's going to be able to beat Washington State and hang with them for four quarters. I do think, even though Washington State isn't a very good team in the Power Five, that they're still better than Colorado State, and so I have Washington State with the win.
Yeah, I think Washington State gets the win. I do think Jay Norvell, the former Nevada coach and current Colorado State head coach, has this team heading in the right general direction. It does hurt that they weren't able to get like an admission into like the Pac-12 or something like that. I know there were rumors at some points when the Pac-12 could have expanded. But I think Colorado State, they have some pieces. I think they'll do well. I think they'll be able to get the W. So UTSA and Houston, this game will be played in Houston. Who do you got?
I got UTSA. This was a huge game last year. Houston won that game in overtime at UTSA, but Houston ended up being terrible last season. And now you lose your quarterback and your best offensive weapon. Like, I don't I don't think this Houston team is going to be very good. I think they're going to be with West Virginia at the bottom of the Big 12. I think Houston was by far the worst addition the Big 12 made in terms of like what the team's going to look like this season. Mm-hmm. And I think UTSA is a team that can win 11, 12 games again. So give me the Roadrunners.
Yeah, I'm going with the Roadrunners in this matchup. I think this is the first of a possible couple of wins against Power 5 opponents. I think that UTSA, Frank Harris, too good of a quarterback. I think he's going to be the leading passer and rusher when he leaves UTSA, which is just crazy. Yeah. The all-time leading passer and rusher. So
I think he might already have the passing mark.
I think he actually has the rushing mark. I don't think it's rushing.
I don't think it's passing.
I think he's rushing.
I knew he already had one. I remember from last year whenever he broke one of them.
But yeah, Frank Harris, great quarterback. We will see what happens throughout the season. But Houston, you lost Alton McCaskill. You're in some trouble. I think Dana Holgorsen, his job is getting a little bit warmer out there in Houston. West Virginia, Penn State, our good old friend Anthony, who's probably watching this, Sorgy Stories in the comments section, and you can check out his channel as well. Big West Virginia fan, but I don't think he's going to like our predictions here.
I don't think so. I'm going with Penn State. I think Drew Aller and the Nittany Lions with Singleton at running back, I think that they're going to have a huge season. And I think that West Virginia, like I just mentioned with Houston, is at the bottom of the Big 12 with Houston. And so I think you take a top 10 team in Penn State and put them against the worst team in the Big 12, not going to end up too good for the worst team in the Big 12. You know, I think this could be a little bit of a closer game considering it's week one. Penn State has a lot of new pieces in. They got to figure some stuff out. But at the same time, West Virginia just sucks, and they have a lot of new bad pieces in. Whereas, you know, Penn State has new pieces in, but they're good new pieces. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens with this one. But I think Penn State in the end wins by, you know, 24, something like that.
Yeah, not only is this game an advantage for Penn State talent-wise, it's at Penn State. I just don't see much of a chance for West Virginia. Maybe they hang around for a quarter, but outside of that, I think Penn State takes the game, and I think they take it pretty easily. A game that's a little bit more interesting, Toledo at Illinois. Toledo, a favorite for the MAC title going into this season, has a good attack both offensively and defensively. Able to get after the quarterback, has a good dual threat quarterback. Thoughts on this game?
I've seen a few people actually picking Toledo to win this game. And, you know, I think it's an interesting matchup, but I am going with Illinois. I think at home they're a very physical team. I think that at the end of the day they're just going to be too physical for a group of five school in Toledo. I think that at both lines of scrimmage, Illinois will dominate them and just wear them down, and I think that will be the difference in the game. As well as, you know, it's a home game for Illinois. That also helps. So I have the Fighting Illini getting the win.
So with this matchup, I have the Illini. If you watched my Illinois prediction video, you can tell that I am a pretty high on Illinois coming into this season. I think that Illinois is going to be the team that wins the Big 12 or the Big 10 West. So I think that Illinois, I think they're going to be able to get the W there. I think that Illinois, it could be an interesting matchup a little bit. But Illinois, like you said, defensively on that defensive line, particularly of Kenneth Randall Keith Randall and Jahir Newton and stuff like that. You just got too many beasts on that line for Toledo to be able to compete. Next game, we have a cross-country road trip here, Coastal Carolina at UCLA. Thoughts?
I actually considered taking Coastal in this football game. You know, UCLA, new quarterback and Dante Moore, true freshman, whereas you take one of the most experienced and better leaders at quarterback in the country and Grayson McCall. Mm-hmm. I just think it's just such a huge disadvantage for Coastal to have to go from literally the beach in South Carolina all the way to the beach in California, literally as far across the country as you can possibly go for a football game for them. So I think that's going to hurt. I think that playing on the road week one doesn't, you know, isn't the best for them. I think that, UCLA probably gets the win in that one. But I really went with UCLA based off of home field advantage. I don't really know what either – we don't really know what either team's going to look like going into the season. UCLA is one of those teams that can end up the end of the year at 5-7 or 9-3. Like, there's just so much in between with both of these teams. New head coach for Coastal, you don't have Jamie Chadwell anymore, so I don't really know what's going to happen, but I'm going with the home field advantage in UCLA.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. I think UCLA, I'm having a hard time picking Coastal. If they had Jamie Chadwell instead of Tim Beck at head coach, I may pick Coastal. But Coastal also has a lot to replace. It's week one, group of five schools. It's hard to replace that talent. But we'll kind of see. Like, it's definitely a matchup that I think is going to be close. I think Coastal could win it, but I am going to go with the Bruins to win the matchup. Sam Houston State, one of the newest FBS teams at BYU, the Mormons versus the Sam Houston Texans.
Yeah, I have BYU winning this game. I don't think Sam Houston is, you know, really to the point to compete big time with a lot of these schools. I think they can keep it. I think that they can compete within their conference for the most part, but I don't really think that they're going to be able to compete heavily against some of these, you know, higher group of five schools and FBS and Power Five schools in the FBS. But I think that this could be a bit of an interesting game. But I do think that at the end of the day, BYU comes away. And it's a home game for them, so that helps. But I think at the end of the day that BYU comes away with the win.
Yeah. BYU, I think, is just a better team. Sam Houston State isn't even one of the better FCS programs. Like, if they were in the FCS this year, they probably wouldn't even make the semifinals. They'd probably make the quarterfinals, maybe. But, like, Sam Houston State, their best seasons were a few years ago. I'm just not – exactly looking. I don't think that this is going to be a particularly fascinating game. I think BYU wins pretty comfortably. Talk about fascinating. Northwestern at Rutgers. That is some fascinating college football there. Thoughts?
Yeah, that is going to be a very fun game to watch. Who knows what's going to happen in this one. I'm going with Rutgers just because of all the turnover with Northwestern. But who the heck knows what's going to happen with this game? This is going to be probably the worst game of week one.
Yeah.
I think a Power Five team versus, like, you know, USC versus who they play tonight, San Jose State.
Yeah.
I think that game may be more entertaining than this game. At least Caleb Williams will be out there for, you know, two and a half quarters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not excited for this game at all. I'm definitely not going to be watching it. Just going to look up the final score at the end of the game to see if we got the pick right or not.
Yeah, Rutgers is my winner in this matchup. I think Rutgers' offense concerns me a lot, but Northwestern, there are so many other concerns to deal with that there's just no way. Rutgers, I think, gets the dub in this one. Oregon State heads to the aforementioned San Jose State. Thoughts?
Yeah, I got Oregon State in this game. Be interested to see what DJ Uiagalelei looks like for the Beavers. I think he will be at least a little bit improved than he was last season. How much improved, I don't really know. But that's something I'm excited to watch for. I think that, you know, just Oregon State in general is just a better, you know, more talented team than San Jose State is. I think that Oregon State, you know, has a good shot at winning this game. I do think it is a little bit more interesting that they go on the road in this game.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty interesting, but I don't think that's a big deal. I don't think that matters. I think that the Beavers get the win.
Yeah, Beavers will get the win. I don't think that there's issues. I think San Jose State has a solid program, but I think DJ Uiagalelei will be okay in his first game as the Oregon State starter. So we're going to move into our big three games. If you have not watched College Football Roundup before, make sure that you share the video, like the video, and subscribe down below. But we do a first 17 games, then a big three. Sometimes we'll do the big three at the beginning. Sometimes we'll do it at the end. It just kind of depends. But South Carolina and UNC, this is the first of the big three games. What are your thoughts?
I think this is going to be a very entertaining football game. I think it's going to be pretty high scoring. I think that it's going to be a very competitive game as well. You know, I think it's one that not either team is going to come away with the win easily, but I do think North Carolina gets the win. You know, they're going to be without Tez Walker, most likely, their best receiver who transferred from Kent State. They're going to be without him. But on the other hand, South Carolina's probably out without Juice Wells, and that's due to injury. So, you know, even if he does come back and play, he's not going to be 100%. He's not going to get from not right now, as of right now, not playing in the game to in a week being 100% healthy. He's just not. There's no injury out there that could happen. So he's not going to be 100% if he does play. And that's a big hit because that's about the only receiver I really like on the South Carolina team. I don't think that they have a lot of depth at that position, whereas I think North Carolina has an elite wide receiver group. I think they've got wide receivers other than just Tez Walker that can really hurt you. I think their running backs are better. I think, you know, their running backs are probably 4 or 5 deep better than South Carolina. Obviously, Drake May is much better than Spencer Rattler. Drake May is the undisputed second best quarterback in the country.
Some people even say it's just straight up the best.
Yeah, some people like him better than Caleb Williams, which I mean, you could make a legitimate argument if that's, you know, if that's what you think. There's a legitimate argument to be made that he could be. Mm-hmm. I look at defensively, South Carolina loses a lot defensively. I know North Carolina's defense just flat out sucks, and South Carolina's will this year. At least for a little bit until they get some pieces worked in together, because right now they don't return a single linebacker. They don't return anybody on that defensive line but one guy. In the secondary, they lose their best two cornerbacks in Cam Smith and Darius Rush. Zach Pickens at defensive line I think is a huge loss.
Yeah,
I think that North Carolina is going to be able to – that their offense is better suited to attack South Carolina's defense. And so I think that's what's going to be the deciding factor. I think Drake May is going to – I trust Drake May more in a shootout to lead his team to victory than I trust Spencer Rattler when it comes down to the quarterback duel. I think Drake May wins that 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah, I'm going to go with North Carolina in this matchup. I went really back and forth, but at the end of the day, I am going to go with Drake May and company. I just trust Drake May a little bit more. Rattler turns the ball over a little bit too much for my liking. But if you want a full in-depth preview and prediction of that video, of that matchup, we put out a video earlier on both of our channels, The Football Expert and American Football Network. Links will be in the description of both channels, and you can check out the video there. Like I said, I am picking the Tar Heels in this matchup. Now we have Clemson at Duke. This is the only one of the big three games that is actually a home game for the team.
Yeah.
Why don't we get your thoughts before I say my thoughts here real quick?
So with Clemson and Duke, I think this is going to be a very interesting game. I think there is the potential that Duke wins this football game. I think that's a real possibility. You know, it's going to be one that Clemson definitely has to show up for. But I do think at the end of the day, Clemson is just more talented than Duke is. I think that defense in the run game alone is enough to barely squeak out a win. But I think that this Clemson offense is going to be better. But one thing with the Clemson offense, I think Bo Collins has to be your best receiver. I don't see another guy that can really be that for you. I think Bo Collins has to be near 1,000 yards, if not over 1,000 yards this season. If he's not, I'm going to be a little bit concerned as a Clemson fan. I think that's something that has to happen. So I'd like to see him have a big game here. See guys like Antonio Williams and Adam Randall have a big game here. And I think, you know, Shipley and Moffa, or, you know, that's kind of a given that they're going to have a good game. And just see what Klubnik is with this offense, the creativity. I think that Clemson does have an advantage in the sense that nobody knows what they're going to be offensively, whereas Duke, you know, you got some film and stuff to go back and watch from last season. This Clemson offense, you don't really know what they're going to do. And I think between the offense and the defense are more talented. I think that, you know, it's not going to be a huge home field advantage for Duke, so that doesn't really matter. So I have Clemson with the win.
Okay, so I'm going to go with the Duke Blue Devils in this matchup. This is to be a little bit annoying here to Lincoln.
If you want to go down another game, go ahead.
Oh, I'm not going down another. Just remember who won last year. Just remember who won last year.
If you want to be annoying, remember who won last year.
Either way, point being, other thing that I will also mention to add to the credibility of this statement, I did have Clemson losing to NC State 2 years ago. I had Clemson losing to Wake Forest last year, and they almost did. I am generally right about these games that Clemson does not think that they will lose, and then all of a sudden they end up being in a really close game in which they either lose or that they almost win, or who that said, they just barely win.
But who said the last two, NC State and Wake Forest, Clemson was just going to blow them out? Everybody knew that was going to be a tough, close game.
Okay, first of all, you thought they were going to win both of them. Everybody thought that they were going to win and win them decently comfortably.
Nobody thought they were both going to be close games. Wake Forest, everybody was the thought, one everybody said 10 plus, but don't even give me the crap about NC State.
NC State, it was a game.
It doesn't. Stephen A. Smith, who doesn't even care about college football, was warning about that game.
I don't give a crap what Stephen A. Smith has to say. Everybody nationally.
The only thing was that saying that that's going to be a tough environment.
Either way, point being, Duke will not be a tough environment, but the game is not in Death Valley. That's kind of the key, is that Duke's not really going to have home field advantage, but they're not going to have to go on the road and play at Death Valley. But when it comes down to it, in the trenches, on the field, between the end zones, Riley Leonard is a better quarterback than Cade Klubnik. Just period, he is. Until proven otherwise, Riley Leonard is a better quarterback.
I think he is that because Klubnik hasn't really had an opportunity to prove differently.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the season, I still think Riley Leonard will be the better quarterback. But he is most definitely the better quarterback.
He is going into the matchup, but I don't think that that's something like huge news to say that. Like, I don't think that's.
I'm just explaining.
Yeah, I know.
Then when you look at the offensive line, it most definitely goes in Duke's favor.
No, it does.
Duke has the best left tackle in the entire ACC, along with the second best right guard.
Clemson has a top 15 offensive line in the country.
No, they don't. That's delusion.
Name 14 better.
We don't have time to name 14 better. Either way, you wouldn't be able to. Point being is this. I think Duke will win on account of the game is at Duke, on account that they have a better quarterback, and on the account that I think when it comes down to it, I think Duke's defense is going to be able to make the stops, and Clemson's offense is not going to be able to put up points sufficiently enough in order to win this game. I think Clemson starts off the year 0-1. Finally, we have a matchup that everybody's been waiting for, talking about all season. Just as anticipated as last year's Notre Dame-Ohio State matchup, if not more anticipated, Florida State versus LSU. This game is being played in Orlando, so kind of a home game for Florida State, but not played at college campuses, which I think is stupid. But don't get me into that debate because we will be here for the next half an hour talking about that. Florida State-LSU, who you got?
Yeah, this is one of the most highly – like, a lot of people say this is basically a playoff game right now from what they – like, there's a lot of people have FSU and LSU both in the playoff. But I am going with the Seminoles of Florida State. I think that this LSU secondary is pretty weak. Brian Kelly has not talked too pleasantly about these guys. He said they still have a lot of work to do. That was a week ago. In 2 weeks, you're not going from Brian Kelly openly saying, hey, I don't feel very confident in our corners, to, okay, yeah, we can handle these elite wide receivers that Florida State has. You look at some of the guys they got. Johnny Wilson, who's 6'7". There's nobody on that LSU team that can cover him. You look at Keon Coleman, transfer from Michigan State. He might actually be the best wide receiver in the ACC. You look at Jaheim Bell that they get. They can put that guy anywhere, running back, tight end, wide receiver. He's going to be a problem. You look at Jordan Travis. He takes the next step every single year. I think this Florida State team is loaded when it comes to offensive weapons. I think they have an elite offense. Now, here's the only question I have with Florida State is, can they put it all together? Because that is still the one thing that you have to that is in question is, can they put all this together and really do something? Because, yeah, they had a great season last year. Who did they really play outside of the, you know, I get they played LSU, but neither one of those teams were ranked last season. That was nowhere near as big of a game as it's going to be this season. Mm-hmm. You know, they lost to Clemson, who was probably the best team on their schedule. Like, they, so what are they going to do? They, they have the games to actually prove that Florida State is back this season, and they have the wins available to really prove that and can make some moves and really shine. But I look at defensively, I think LSU is going to be able to attack this Florida State team defensively. Mm-hmm. I think Florida State has a very good defensive line, but I think they're average to good at the linebacker and cornerback position, well, secondary position. You know, I think that they lose some pieces at both of those positions to the draft. And I think that this is going to be a higher scoring game than it was last year, just when you look at these offenses. But I do think Florida State wins again. I just have a hard time seeing this LSU defense consistently stopping Florida State.
Here's the thing. I disagree on one account and one account alone. Florida State will not win in the trenches. And because they won't win in the trenches, they will not win this game. LSU has a better offensive line, has a better defensive line. They're more physical. Their running attack is fantastic. I think Jaden Daniels personally is a better quarterback than Jordan Travis. He has a better arm and more specifically passing talent. I'd take Travis as a running back or as a runner, but when it
even
comes
still,
all together,
Daniels isn't too far behind. Either.
No.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm going to go with LSU. They didn't win the game last year. I do think they win the game this year. Plus, LSU, that's the first game for Brian Kelly. This year, it's not. I think LSU is going to have it a little bit more put together, and I do think that they end up getting the W. Though I don't trust, I don't like picking LSU in this game. That means I'm trusting Brian Kelly to win a big game against Florida State, and that didn't work out last time. So I don't know if I really trust this prediction.
Think we both went the same way in this game last year. I think I had FSU and you had LSU last year. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's going to wrap up today's video. I meant to say at the beginning of the podcast, this will be a podcast on Spotify, any other audio podcast, wherever you get it. And it will be a video format this year, hopefully as often as possible. I'm a freshman in college and he's a senior in high school, so we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
But that will
gonna
wrap
be busy.
Yeah. That's going to wrap up today's video. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, help us hit that goal of 50 subscribers by the end of September. And as always, have a great day. See you guys.
See you.